The Tarncast, Tarncast, the Tarncast, Tarncast, this is Tarncast, Tarncast, the Tarncast, Tarncast, the Tarncast, Tarncast, it's a Tarncast, Tarncast, this is the Tarncast.
My kiss registered 0.25 decibels.
It did. Congratulations.
Yes.
That's good. That's a good kisser.
Wee-hee.
Yeah. On mic kissing. That's sound porn.
Welcome to the Tarncast, a special edition pub crawl, which was a fun way to begin when we're at a bar, O'Malley's, and I think we got a couple of looks from the bar from maybe the oldest person I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, very old.
So do you always, I'm sorry, I haven't introduced my special guest, Todd Robert Anderson.
Hi, and you didn't introduce yourself either. You were so into talking about O'Malley's.
You know what? Honestly, when I start things off making out with my guests, I often forget my name. It's just one of those.
My kiss has that effect.
It's a crazy.
It's dizzying.
It really is. Yeah. It's kind of just a side effect. Yeah. I am your host, the horny Hillary.
The horny Hillary.
Well, today anyway.
Yeah, I guess so.
I like the gingers.
Oh, yeah?
So
oh.
I get a ginger in an Irish bar and it's like, I just have to take like advantage of the moment.
It's like a weird porn.
Have you ever been greeted on a show by a kiss on the lips?
No, that's the first time.
Oh, that's good.
That's the first time.
How'd that go?
It felt really good.
Ah.
Yeah. I think Steve Skelton wanted to kiss me when I was on his podcast.
Oh, like, yeah, I
could see it
that.
In his eyes.
Yeah.
Like, and a couple of times he sort of leaned in and like
was hopeful.
Cocked his head just a little bit.
Just pursed slight way, just like they swelled a little in hopes they were going to be pressed.
And then I could hear, if you really listened, you could hear him sort of whispering in a ventriloquist sort of way. Please, God.
Let it happen.
Oh, God.
And then just the slightest, not audible sigh of sadness when you did.
Yeah, when it like the moment went on too long and it got awkward. Yeah,
and he had to pull back.
Yeah, and then you could see his chin shake a little.
You have another guest who it wasn't so much a kiss as like I'd like to bend you over and do it hard. His name is Jason Rohr.
Oh,
when
yeah.
You work
when
with
he
him,
hosted,
right?
When he hosted the podcast that I was on, yeah, he was really like aggressively,
yeah,
like angrily sexual with me. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, I think you did a podcast one time. You did a movie, you know.
Oh, you mean the podcast Jason and Todd talked about?
Yes.
Films?
And yeah, I thought, I mean, I heard this like thumping sound at one point, and yeah. I could just, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I just pictured Jason, like, thumping against the furniture that's there, just wanting more.
Yeah, yeah. It was really, I don't know. I got a little upset after a while because I felt like maybe he was hurting the furniture. And we record that, you know, in my living room.
Oh.
So I didn't want him to break the sofa with his sexual frustration.
Yeah, that's a raging.
So
like,
I had to pull him off the couch and duct tape him to his chair to get him.
Oh,
to
my
stop.
God. I had no idea. It was so violent. I mean, I knew I could imagine. I pictured it. When I heard the pounding, I pictured the violence. Oh, hey, let's do this on air.
Oh,
right here.
Cheers. There it is.
Right?
Oh.
Do you mind that I ordered you a scotch?
No, but it feels weird to drink scotch in an Irish bar. It's like,
you know, I felt a little bit awkward, but I don't like Irish whiskey.
I don't like it either.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So oh, that's so funny. So why don't you like it?
I don't, you know, I don't, I think the only kind of whiskey I like is scotch.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Like, I've had high-end bourbons, you know, that my bourbon friends are like, oh, you really like it. It's like a good, like, you like a good single malt. This is, you know, single malt whiskey from a different, you know, region.
Yeah.
But I just don't like the flavor. There's something about the general flavor of other whiskeys
I don't either.
That I don't like.
Yeah, I don't know. There's an aftertaste.
Yeah, like I don't like rye whiskey.
No.
I don't like, yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I, something about the peat, I guess, that flavors it right.
So have you ever been to a Scotch tasting?
I have been to one, yeah, with the aforementioned Steve Skelton. Yeah.
Oh, so what was that like? Are people just, I mean, you're wasted. How can you do a Scotch tasting? I don't understand how that works.
Technically it works the same way as a wine tasting, right?
Okay,
they only
I see.
Give you a very little bit.
You spit it out?
So you can.
Oh, does anybody?
But basically, no.
Right.
But it's too good.
Yeah, of course.
Basically, they give you just like a literal sip.
Oh.
In a cup.
Like not even a full shot?
Nowhere near a full shot.
Oh, okay.
Literally just like a splash. They put a little splash. So you can taste it. It's just enough to move it around in your mouth. It's not like a ton of whiskey. It's just a little splash. Just like they give you a little splash of wine, but it's less than that because it's whiskey.
Oh.
You know? So they do. And it was very interesting. The two interesting highlights of this whiskey tasting, because I've only been to one. One was they had this single malt.
They won't allow you back.
It went
poorly, didn't it?
I'll tell you what happened at the end. But this is like a little bit of education that was interesting.
Oh, okay.
I had a single malt, and it tasted like Dewar's blended Scotch whiskey, which is gross, right?
Yeah.
But it had a similar flavor. But I was like, it reminds me of Dewar's, but I like it. It actually tastes good.
Oh.
And what I found out was this was a barrel from a distillery owned by Dewar's, because they own a few, and then they put all these scotches together to make their signature flavor. So this was one of those scotches that wasn't blended in.
It was a single malt Dewar's.
Right.
Wow. But what's that like?
That's what I'm saying.
It was good, but...
Yeah, it tastes like Dewar's, but not awful.
Oh.
Like, it was the weirdest thing. I was like, oh, I could actually learn to like this, like, the aftertaste.
I've never seen that anywhere. Can you get that at liquor stores? Single malt Dewar's?
No. It wasn't single malt Dewar's.
It wasn't?
From a distillery. It had a different name.
Huh.
But it was one of the distilleries that sells their stuff, or now Dewar's owns it.
Oh.
So they make these single malts, and then with these other distilleries, they blend all that whiskey together, hence blended Scotch whiskey.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Huh. And it was really, really good. And that was weird. And the guy was actually like, excellent palate.
Well, yes.
I was like,
you impress the Scotch guy.
Yeah. I've had Dewar's.
I drink a lot of Scotch.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a discriminating palate for Scotch.
Scotch. And then the other funny thing that happened was there was one that was a cask strength Scotch, which, ooh, do you know what that is?
No, not exactly. It sounds really intense, though.
Well, after they're done aging the Scotch in a barrel, they take it out and they add water to it and they chill filter it.
Okay.
You know, to make the flavor less harsh, basically. But if they have a good cask strength, which is rare, that like tastes really good on its own without like that
adding
process,
anything,
then they just put it into bottles.
Oh, but so then, they don't add anything to dilute
it. But then it has like 50% more alcohol than a regular Scotch does.
Waitress?
Exactly.
That just sounds like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah. And they taste good, but at this place, so everybody was like kind of, you know, quiet and uptight, like kind of like a wine tasting, trying to be, and nobody was really, people were just talking amongst their cliques that they came
with. Of course.
Different, it was quiet.
Older crowd?
It was a range, actually.
Oh, really? Oh.
And, but then the cask strength, everybody had their sip of cask strength, and the room changed instantly. And everybody in the room were best friends. We were all best friends all of a sudden.
That's fantastic.
And that ultimately led to, you know, me never being allowed back into a Scotch tasting.
Oh, see. That's,
I'm just barred from all Scotch tastings.
I'm amazed. Did you cab there? Or did you Uber? Was there Uber?
We did take a cab there.
You took a cab.
Yeah, that's the way you do it. That was before Uber.
Before Uber?
The evil Uber.
Yeah, so apparently Ubers, they underpay and they're sexist? Is that the thing?
Misogynist, I think, is the word.
They're misogynist.
That we were...
So they treat women poorly?
Well, yeah.
As a taxi company?
Well, they
company.
Use... They, like, sell the concept of being picked up by a hot chick in her car.
Oh.
Which is...
Like a hot chick will pick you up?
Yeah. They have... or something.
Oh, so you can specifically ask for a hot chick.
Yeah. And that's been deemed misogynistic.
Do you think it'll be deemed misogynistic still when they say a hot guy's going to pick you up?
I don't know.
If it doesn't cost more, I'll request a hot guy. I might wait longer, which is a problem. A bigger problem for me than who's going to pick me up. But if I had my druthers.
Yeah.
So when that happens, do you think that will continue to be a big problem for people?
I really don't know.
Or even better, like a shirtless stud will pick you up. I see that being a big hit.
So are you saying topless women?
No, I'm saying topless guys.
But not
topless women. It's illegal. Topless guys can
Depends
whenever
on,
they want.
Not in New York, it's not.
Oh, not in New York and also
a lot
not
of
in
places.
Canada.
Yeah, not in Vermont.
Oh, not in Vermont?
Well, certain towns in Vermont. You can be fully
Interesting.
Nude.
Interesting.
In some towns in Vermont.
Well, here in California, you can't. So if a topless woman comes to pick you up, she could get pulled over and by a very happy police officer.
unless it's a straight lady police officer.
Oh, dude. And then she's just so fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no...
Yeah, but there's no such thing as straight lady police officers. We all know that.
a most happy, a most amused police female police officer will pull her over. Yes, miss. I was going to ask you to put a top on. But see, yeah, shirtless guys picking you up and like, hey, would you like a bottle of water?
How do you feel about...
It's kind of fantastic.
Topless maids. I saw a truck that said on the side, topless maids, and it had an 800 number.
You know, it's funny. I'm all for it, of course. I mean, if there's a woman willing to be topless and doing housework.
Sure, sure.
And to get paid, she'll probably do the shittiest job you've ever had of cleaning your house because you're paying for the tits.
I would imagine so, but wouldn't you be surprised if, in fact, not only were they topless, but they did the most thorough cleaning of your house?
That would be amazing, Todd, if that were true and you got the best cleaning. And I mean, just cleaning. When I say vacuum, I mean that literally, like just the cleaning of your home.
Yeah, yeah.
With no assumptions about anything else.
Right.
That would be amazing. I'm all for it. If a woman needs a job and she's cleaning your house and she's willing to take off her top, what do I give a shit?
Good for her. Are you suggesting? I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
Are you suggesting that these topless maids engage in prostitution as well as topless cleaning?
All I'm saying is I don't know. So maybe when you call up, I wish we had a phone where we could do like a live call right now and we could just be really invasive in our questions and just say, so when you say vacuum my house and just like really offensive poking at you, do you mean...
Do you use a Dyson because they never lose suction?
Yes. And if it's me calling, I'll say, you know, do you do windows? And by windows, I mean windows. But I can't gesture to my boobs like I'm doing right now, so I'm not sure how to get innuendos across
on
the phone.
But I certainly enjoyed that.
So did the weird old guy in the corner.
He was super happy.
Yeah, he's going to totally clean my windows right now.
He's so old and awful. Why does he come out?
You know, I feel like this is a second home. And if he didn't come out, that maybe he'd just turn into a pile of dust in his house. So he comes here to just keep all the cells together.
Would that be so bad, though? Because he's just awful.
I know.
He's just awful.
I know. It's hard, though. You know, I think when you get to be a 95-year-old hardcore alcoholic and you've made it that long, I feel like just every cell in your body is held together with a combination of Long Island iced teas and condiments that come in the bowls on the bar tables.
Yeah. Is that a goiter on him?
I was wondering the same. You know what I used to think those were? I saw this guy one time in Santa Monica. It scared the shit out of me when I was about 20.
Uh-huh.
And I was walking down the street, and he was walking towards me. And what I thought was that he had, like, a wraparound penis on his neck.
Uh-huh.
Like, it looked like he had some...
Like that joke in the movie Neighbors?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Where, and I can't believe you've seen the movie Neighbors. Because that's, nobody should have seen the movie Neighbors.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't care for it.
Okay, but back to that in a second. Uh-huh. We got to talk about dick neck. Because right. I'm staring at this guy and we're walking towards each other. And he's pretty hard looking as well.
Uh-huh.
And I think, why is he wearing like an attachable dick to his neck? And the closer we get, I realize it's a giant goiter. And I mean, like, it's hanging down the size of, you know, like a small dick. Not like a full size.
Was it? Because the goiters I've seen are just hard. But
it wasn't flopping. It wasn't flopping, but it was long. It was kind of like hot dog long.
Uh huh.
So it was skinny. Uh-huh. It was a little skinny, and it hung down off his neck.
Oh.
It was terrifying.
That's rough.
It was really terrifying, and it's one of those things where you're walking by someone and you can't quite tear your eyes away, but part of you is thinking this could be a crazy homeless person, and if he sees me staring at his dick on his neck,
yeah,
I might get attacked and raped with his dick on his neck.
His neck dick.
I'm going to get, like, neck raped.
Yeah. You don't want to get neck raped.
I didn't at that point.
Yeah. Was he with Bill Cosby?
No, because I wasn't asleep face down in my bed.
Oh, boy.
Hey.
You will be. Oh, yes. You will. Yeah, you know, I know you're not supposed to feel bad for people who have challenges of any kind, but... goiters, man, that's got to be rough to live with that. It seems kind of sad. I saw a guy in a subway, and I felt bad. Like, I felt bad that I had this reaction. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I was in college, and it was kind of political correctness was being born, and I was becoming aware of different people and, you know, the concept that everybody has their worth and blah, blah, blah.
Where are you from originally?
Massachusetts.
Oh, good. Yes. Yeah. So you needed a little bit of broadening and, like,
yeah,
citifying, unless you're from Boston.
I needed to be less of a horrible homophobic racist.
Oh, well, if you put it that way. And even if you were in Boston.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I got out of Boston. That got helped me. But I was on the subway and I was looking at this guy, you know, because sometimes I'll get distracted, you know, on the subway when I'm tired and I wind up looking at someone a little too long. But I was looking at him because he was just normal looking dude, you know, actually kind of handsome. But he looked so sad.
Uh-huh.
Sitting on the subway and
white guy.
And he looked so sad. And I was looking at him thinking, I wonder why he's so sad. He seems so sad, like so depressed. And he turned towards me and the other half of his face was just a giant goiter.
Ugh.
Like, and my reaction, just initial reaction, was to jump. Like, I was startled. And I felt so bad.
Did he see you?
Yeah, he totally saw
me.
Oh. And it wasn't, you know, I wasn't making fun of him or anything. It's just like...
It startled you.
It startled me.
You didn't expect that.
And it was in that moment where I realized why he looked so sad.
Oh, man.
Because this shit happens to him all the time.
All the time.
I felt so bad.
Maybe he's going to wind up like Grizzly Adams over there.
Yeah. Like, no, that alcoholic guy, at a bar. I feel like that guy's goiter is on him. I don't like that guy.
It's on him, like it's on you, like that's your fault. That, you know what, dude? That's on you. That goiter?
Your goiter?
That's on you,
is
man.
On you.
Because it's on you. You are all about that goiter, and that's, I don't have it for you. That's what that
We're
sounds
gonna
like.
Go straight to hell. For this podcast.
That is, most of the people in an Irish bar are gonna go straight to hell. I've got to say that quietly because Irish people don't. They believe in hell. And you can't say that too loudly.
No. Yeah, they totally believe it.
You get angry people.
Yeah. I saw my old. I used to go to this Irish bar when I first moved to LA in Burbank, rather on Burbank Boulevard, I guess it's Sherman Oaks.
Mm-hmm. Whereabouts?
Van Nuys or whatever. Burbank and Woodman?
Burbank and Woodman.
What's that area?
Woodman and Burbank. God, that's a good question. That's probably around Sherman Oaks.
Yeah, or like on the north of Sherman Oaks, or maybe it'd be North Hollywood. I don't know. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
There's a bar there called Ireland's 32.
Oh, I've heard of that place.
And it was one of the first bars that I frequented in L.A. And I happened, and I never go there anymore. I've, set foot in there in years. And I was getting my hair cut in my neighborhood, and suddenly standing in front of me was the Ireland's 32 bartender, Alan, and he was like, "Hey, how's it going?" Or maybe it was Marty. Jeez, it's been so long since I saw both of them.
And he recognized you,
like brothers. Well, I'm on television, so.
Oh yeah, we're gonna get to that.
But yeah, he recognized me and was like, "Hey, it's good to see you." I was like, "Good to see you." And he's like, "We're still."
Did you place it? You knew what he was from right away.
I knew what he.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally knew. Well, he looks good. He's older than me. I don't know how old he is. Probably late 40s, maybe?
Uh-huh.
Or 50, something. But he looks like he hasn't aged much since I knew him. I'm a really nice guy, but he was just like, "Yeah, you should come by." And I'm like, well, maybe I will.
You're never going by.
No, but he was funny, too, though, because he's like, "Remember, we're a restaurant, so you can bring your kid."
Yes.
So we can take Colby to Ireland 32. Oh, we just can't sit at the bar. We have to sit in the, pub part.
Wow. Is that your kid?
Order food. Yeah, my kid's name is Colby.
Aww.
Yeah.
Well, you should definitely take him there. It's important to expose your children to your drunkenness.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's, a part of who we are.
Yeah.
As adults in the world. And they need to see us drunk. Like, if heroin is your thing, you really need to expose them to these things young.
I agree, actually. I think, I don't know why people make the parenting decisions they do, but I think actually when kids turn like 13, 14, depending, your own kid and their maturity level, I think like 13, 14 is when you have them try heroin.
I agree.
Well,
then they get to know what they like at a young age.
Just a needle, not like smoking it or snorting it or anything, just, through the veins. Because I think you got to be a little older to, smoke it.
Yeah.
And that's when you should start introducing the harder drugs.
Oh, I know.
Because they get to college, if you haven't educated them properly, they're going to do it all wrong, do too much of it,
Yeah, no, you got to start introducing things slowly. So, like they say that, pot is the gateway drug, and it might be. So you should be the gateway for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Start them with pot, then move them on to cocaine.
Pot's like
eight
or nine.
Alcohol, pot, cocaine.
I think it's good to start with pot.
Heroin, crack.
Yeah.
That's sort of like the order I've always done things in.
Yeah. That makes total sense. Yeah.
I've never done acid, though.
I've never done acid.
Oh.
My roommate in college did a lot of acid.
What's he like now?
He's a regular guy. He's nice.
Yeah.
He's
fun. You can follow his train of thought pretty well.
Yeah. Sometimes he just starts staring at stuff and batting at things that aren't there, like a drunk kitten out of nowhere.
Yes.
But the rest of the time, he's totally.
But normal. Who doesn't?
I think that just happens. That's a part of aging.
Yes, really. That's exactly right.
That's aging.
Like sometimes you're just going to bat at imaginary balls.
Yeah, that's.
I do that sometimes when I'm home alone. I'm just like batting at imaginary balls, just wishing I could drop a couple in my mouth. Like, boom, 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 boom.
Huh.
Why aren't these in my mouth?
Why aren't these imaginary balls coming out of the air and into my mouth?
I would like to be your teacup.
There's a lot of innuendo in your conversation.
I don't know what you're talking about.
A double entendre.
My double entendre.
Entendre.
So you're an actor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So would you say, you know, if you were going to give yourself a title, like my intention at the beginning of this cast was to say, you know, and I'd like to introduce you to Todd Robert Anderson, an actor and a family man. Mm-hmm. And then I was going to ask you what your other, you consider your titles. So is that, would that be the order you'd call, tell, you know, you'd describe yourself as actor, family man?
I'm a lover, I think.
A lover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first a lover.
Is your wife a jealous person?
She's wicked jealous. Wicked jealous.
So we'll edit the kiss in the beginning?
It wasn't a sexual kiss.
It was a cheek kiss, everybody.
It was just a European greeting type of deal.
What are we going to do?
And I got a little, like, semi.
You did?
Yeah. Not a full-on robot chubby, but definitely a semi.
I did, too.
I'm human. You got a mild erection?
A small clitoral erection.
Clitoral erection?
A small clitoral swelling.
That's what you...
Just like the teeniest little bump.
Like a little hint.
In my panties. Yes, exactly. But that's all I've got. I mean, this is all I got. These are my jokes. Yeah, they don't get bigger than this.
No, yeah. That's great. Well, and you don't have to be, you know, people won't necessarily see that.
Yeah. Nobody's looking.
Yeah, yeah.
Hard.
Well, yeah, they might be looking, but they're not necessarily going to see it happening underneath your britches.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, actor, lover?
Yeah, lover, family man, and then actor.
Lover, family man, actor. So, if you were able to control your destiny and you could have any other title be something that's a part of your truth, what would it be? Politician or, you know, if you, anything.
You mean add a profession to my list?
Yeah.
Well, writer, I guess. I write.
Writer.
Sure.
But I mean dream. So the writer is a truth. So a dream new gnome, what would it be?
A new career. A dream career.
Yeah, exactly. If you know you were going to be successful in anything, what would your, beyond that artist?
Renewable energy engineer.
Oh.
How about that?
No, that's very cool.
Oh, thanks.
So what do you think is the future for renewable energy sources?
I don't know. I think we need to get on it, though. Harness more winds and waters and stuff.
Solar power. Suns. And suns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Do you power your house with any of the renewable energy sources now?
No, can't afford it.
I know. It's the most pathetic, you know, irony, isn't it? That it's you can't afford the thing that's supposed to make these things affordable.
They're just very expensive. This truth is, because it's a niche item.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a very, very small home, and just for one, and they won't even put.
You live alone?
I live alone.
You're like a spinster?
I am. I'm
You're
a
like
hardcore
a horny spinster lady.
I am a spinster lady.
Do you go after the younger fellas or?
Well, you know, I'm like 10 years older than you, so I would, you know, I'm guessing anyway that I'm 10 years older than you. I feel 10
I
years
think
older
you're
than you.
Wrong about that. But okay.
Okay. I might be. But I've had my marriage and now I have my freedom.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
It's like Braveheart, you know. They can take your liberties.
Sorry, you didn't have a successful
marriage. It's single life is good.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good to have gone through it and know that I'm enjoying being single instead.
Uh-huh.
God rest his wicked motherfucking soul. He's not dead, but you know, he could be at any moment. But anyway, the house is small, and I love it. I've got all my stuff the way it is. And they won't put solar panels on my roof because my roof is too small.
Well, that sounds ridiculous.
That's what they say. the companies all that the come companies to pitch me. Well, you know, I've gotten a few quotes, and most of them they come and they just say, you know, I'm not sure solar panels are for you. So I feel like it's, you know, part of the problem is the business itself hasn't been so, it's not so common, and the government hasn't gotten involved with it to the level that it should to be very, you know, it's, I think it needs to be monitored a bit, the business of it, because I feel like that's a scam.
Yeah.
They're hustling me. My roof isn't big enough. Of course it is.
Yeah. You just can put solar panels all over it.
Put two panels on.
Yeah. Yeah, do something.
We'll do something.
Do something. Or build a windmill in the yard or something.
I don't have any Dutch heritage, but I would love a windmill.
You don't have any Dutch heritage?
No.
Not any at all?
I know, despite the clogs I'm wearing. But
most people have some Dutch, isn't that?
Not double Dutch.
No, it's just not double like Dutch. Straight Dutch? Some Dutch, yeah.
What makes you think we all hearken from Dutch heritage?
I just, that's, I called Ancestry.com and they said.
We all, you can trace us all back to.
98% of the human race can be traced back to, to Deutschland.
To Deutschland, eh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I thought it was Africa. But
no, that's you're probably right. That's a common mistake.
Is it?
It's just an old wives' tale.
Huh.
Most people are actually descended from the Dutch.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely true.
That's I completely believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, oh, he's leaving.
Oh, thank God. He smells too.
We're not that close, but it's
you could smell
pungent.
I think he pissed himself. So what's your next question?
I haven't even gotten to my questions. Okay.
Well, we better get through them.
Okay.
Quick.
Okay. What? Well, I've already told her just to bring a second, if like not to interrupt. But yeah. Okay. Well, then this is one of them. We already talked about alcohol. So pen or pencil? That's one of my important questions.
Like writing?
Yep. Pen or pencil?
I like writing with pens more than pencils.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just like they feel smooth and it glides better.
Uh-huh. But it's permanent.
Right. But if I find it interesting to go back and look at notes that I jotted down and things that I crossed out and mistakes that I made and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't mind going back and even if you've made mistakes, you don't mind looking at that?
No, I like looking at those mistakes. That's what I'm saying. But I just like the feel of a pen more than a pencil. That's
I get that.
Reason.
What kind of pen?
Any kind. Ballpoint.
Ballpoint.
Ballpoint pen.
Yeah, if I'm going to
not a felt
work with a pen, it's going to be a ballpoint pen.
I don't
pen.
Like those. Yeah. I don't like those one. I don't know what they are, but they're like, you know, they have that thicker ink that comes out.
Yes.
It's a little gooier.
Yep.
It's like more like an old timey ink pen. I don't like those.
There are ballpoint pens also where they're sporadic sometimes, where it doesn't come out consistently. That drives me crazy.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I don't like that either in a ballpoint pen.
Yeah.
No.
The most old school ballpoint is the best.
Right.
It's the original, the transparent plastic.
Yeah, I don't need anything fancy. Just get me a Bic pen, ballpoint pen. That's all I need.
A Bic pen.
Yeah,
that's exactly it.
Bic ballpoint pen. That's it.
All right, my next question, because I can see you're a driven man and like straight questions.
Yes, give it to me straight.
Your next question, sir.
Uh-huh.
I gather that you like movies because you do these podcasts.
Uh-huh,
homoerotic gentlemen.
Yeah.
So what would you say is the best cop thriller that you've ever seen?
Ooh. Ooh, that's a hard question. Best cop thriller.
One of your favorites.
Or favorite cop thriller.
Yeah.
Because my favorite cop thriller, I don't think is the best movie of all time. Like, I would probably go with Serpico
Serpico.
The best cop thriller. But maybe Manhunter is a cop thriller. That's a great one.
Yeah, I could see that as a cop thriller.
It is. It's a cop thriller. I mean, it's
psychological thriller a little. But okay, I'll give
you
that.
It's a cop.
But it's a cop. It's a, yeah. I think that's more of a psychological thriller. But,
yeah.
But it's starring a cop.
I like cop.
It's not about cop stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I see a cop thriller as being about police work in some ways. Like, yeah. It's got to include being a cop. I mean, that does have it, but it focuses more on the serial killer and, I don't know,
right, the journey. Right, but William Peterson's character is the lead of the show, and he's a cop, right?
But he's not doing profiler. Cop work a lot. I don't know. I see that. I don't know. That sort of stands outside the genre for me.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Because it goes... And so much of the movie... Yeah, no. I mean, I could go either way. So what's the next one? Serpico, definitely.
I think Serpico is probably the best cop thriller that I can think of off the top of my head. But I love the movie Cop with James Woods.
I've never seen that.
You've never seen Cop?
No.
Really?
Cop with James Woods?
Yeah, it's just a simple...
Who else is in it?
I don't know. Charlie Haid?
Oh, Charlie Haid. Okay. Isn't his name Charles Haid? Or is it...
I don't know what he calls himself.
Charlie? Is it Charlie
Haid?
He
directed me in an episode of...
Oh, I see.
The
Guardian. So you're friendly with him. You're like, hey, yeah.
What's
so
up,
Chuck
Charlie?
Haid? Chuck Haid?
Chuck Haid. He's, my boy Chuck Haid.
Hey, what's up, Chucko?
Yo, Chuck Haid! I love Chuck Haid, yeah. So, yeah, there's people like that in it. But I can't remember the other famous people...
All right, so mostly it's James Woods.
It's James Woods and mostly just character actors and, you know, from the late 80s.
What's it about, drug dealers or gangsters or what's he fighting? The White House?
Yeah, he's trying to find a murderer is what he's trying to do. He's on the trail of a killer, but he's obsessed. He's a cop on the edge. He's too close to the case.
Ooh, he's too close
and
to the case.
And he's obsessed and it's like sort of he's... just as dangerous as the bad guy, because that's how obsessed he is.
Oh, so he's a bad cop.
Catching. He's not a bad cop. He's a good cop who does questionable things to get his man.
I don't know about your methods.
I don't know about your methods.
I do not approve of your methods.
It has my favorite...
I was trying to be his boss.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember if his boss is like that, but...
That's
yeah.
probably not how Charles Haid sounds, though.
Charles Haid's not his boss.
Yeah. Oh, he's not?
No, Charles Haid is a crooked cop.
Oh, that fits.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think of Bad Lieutenant, by the way?
Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans, or the original Bad Lieutenant?
I would not know about that sequel. The original only.
I prefer Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans.
Really?
I think it's a little bit more bananas.
Yeah, I was going to say it's batshit crazy,
and
that's why.
It's less... gross, I guess. Even though he's still he's terrible. But the first Bad Lieutenant was just like...
And relentlessly.
I Abel Ferrara, his movies, I never know whether he's serious or not. You know, like, I really like King of New York because it's a good action gangster movie. But I can't tell if he's being goofy on purpose.
Yeah, I
or
agree.
If he's really goofy. And Bad Lieutenant was either, like, a really ironic... black comedy, subtle black comedy, or it was just intensely pretentious. And I can't...
I lean towards intensely pretentious.
I can't, yeah.
Personally.
I don't really know. But because it's so awful, Bad Lieutenant does have its entertainment value. But I kind of feel like Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call in New Orleans. But I can't tell with Herzog either. That guy's a weirdo. Mm. It's like two really weird movies... made by two really weird guys who I can't tell where their sense of humor stops and their pretentiousness begins. I guess that's the point.
Yeah.
So they're interesting companion pieces.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I was going to name the movie that I love and it just popped out of my head, which drives me crazy.
Cop movie that you love?
Yes. My favorite cop thriller, which is...
Shakedown with Peter Weller.
It's amazing how you read my mind, Todd. It's almost like you're inside me. Let me clarify. It's almost like you're inside my brain, reading my thoughts as they come along, like a ticker tape.
Yeah.
Like at the court stenographer.
Well, I'm very clairvoyant.
You're really good like that.
Yeah. I'm super.
You're witchy.
I'm very witchy.
Little witchy.
Yeah.
Second to the, of course, Stakeout is...
You mean Shakedown?
Shakedown.
I like Stakeout.
I love Stakeout too, but that's not a cop thriller.
Action comedy, though. That's action.
That's an action comedy. No, the movie is the one. It's it was originally Japanese and then remade as an American film. And it's a twist, like there's
Infernal Affairs.
Yes,
that was remade as that Scorsese show.
Yes,
The Departed.
The Departed. Infernal Affairs might be my favorite cop thriller.
That's a good cop thriller,
right?
Yeah, it's really good. Really good.
I don't want to be a spoiler for viewers that have not seen it, but if you have not seen it, you should see it.
See it. Yeah.
That's
Infernal
excellent.
Affairs is really good. Not to be confused with Internal Affairs.
Internal Affairs, right? Which is a ridiculous Richard Gere movie.
Yeah. Cheesy Andy Garcia. And that was the first movie that... I can't remember what the name of this is. It's like a thing. Like if they have like a something in the trailer, you know, that's not in the movie.
Ugh.
Like in the trailer for The Transporter, Jason Statham deflects a heat-seeking missile with a trash can lid.
Oh my God, I remember that.
And it's in the trailer.
Yeah, Bouncy, he holds up the trash can lid and it comes out in space and it bounces off. It's ridiculous.
You can't do that. You can't do that.
You know what?
Which
we'll never
know. Which is probably
know.
Why they cut it out of the movie. It was too silly for the movie. But
oh, you think?
When
yeah,
I saw
right.
that it's in the trailer, that's the whole reason I went to see that. That movie was to see him do that, and he didn't do it.
Oh.
And Internal Affairs with Richard Gere and Andy Garcia, the trailer had the two of them fighting, like in a fight, struggle, embrace, and both of them flying out of a window together.
Whoa.
Like that's how the trailer ended.
I don't remember
them
that at all.
Flying out a window, and then it like fades, and it's like Internal Affairs coming soon.
And you're thinking, both of them die in this
Not
movie?
Not in the movie. Yeah, that was probably the original ending that they changed, and it looked awesome, so they put it in the trailer.
But then they didn't want to kill their stars in the end.
That
would have been a great ending to that movie.
Well, that it makes perfect sense because like one's a bad guy and one's a cop, and they're both obsessed with each
other. They're so pitted against each other that in the end they take each other down.
Right.
That would have been fantastic.
Wouldn't that
and then
have been
they
awesome?
Both fall out of a 30-story building.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That would have been a killer ending.
You say you're a writer. Write it.
Write it. You don't have to write it. You just find the old footage and you release a special edition of Internal Affairs. Why go through all the trouble?
It's already done somewhere.
It's been done.
I'm sure somebody kept those clips somewhere.
I hope so.
They're not on the cutting room floor.
It's Internal
Affairs.
It's an important American film.
No, I agree. All right, so we see eye to eye on cop thrillers, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the cop with James Woods has my favorite ending of a cop thriller ever.
Do you want to spoil?
Can you handle it?
Can I handle the truth?
Can you handle a spoil? I mean, I don't want... If you want to watch Cop, I don't want to...
Okay, so...
I can't believe you've never seen Cop.
I know.
It's so weird.
I know. That would have been closer to my... I don't know, maybe I was going through my marriage at that point.
You should come back to my place. I got a copy of it. I'll show it to you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And your wife is, hey, I did this.
She loves James Woods.
Okay, so what's the ending? All right, well, wait a minute. Maybe I'll see it.
Maybe.
So I don't want it to be ruined.
All right, I'm not going to tell you the ending.
Okay, so this is another...
But it's my favorite... Like, just one of my favorite all-time movie endings.
Huh.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Interesting.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I mean, most of these questions are bullshit, but I'm going to plow through them because you like questions.
All right. I do. I love questions.
I know. You're just...
More than anything.
You're question man.
Yeah.
Or you're answer man.
I'm answer
man. You got all the answers.
Yeah.
Do you want another one?
No. Keep going.
No? Okay. So, you and your wife.
Uh-huh.
How long have you been married?
We've been married for 14 years.
That's too long.
What do you mean?
I'm just kidding. That's fine. That's good.
It's a good number.
You should, absolutely, if it's working for you, God love you.
They've been 14 wonderful years.
You found something that works.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
What's the key?
Communication.
Yes? Okay. What do you mean?
Talk to each other.
Okay. Yeah. My husband and I, we talked to each other and it was sort of like, what's up, bitch?
Did you talk?
Hey, asshole.
Yeah.
And then we'd go get in our cars. We talked all the time like that.
That's not communication. That's just hurling insults at each other. Yeah.
So, not the kind of communication you were talking about.
Giggling sound?
You know what? It's because it's an Irish pub. And
oh, they let kids in.
See? You nailed it. And after you said that, a family came in and sat next to us. And I think the parents who are glaring at us right now were thinking that I keep my voice down. But maybe you shouldn't bring a kid into an Irish pub. Now I'm going to start a fight.
Oh, my God. We better wrap this up because I'm not good in a bar brawl. You got to get out of here.
You look like you could handle anything in a fight because you are a muscled guy.
Thanks.
You don't... Can I?
Yeah.
That's it. Come on. Oh, my God. You didn't flex.
No, I'm
not. There's no man on the planet that when you reach over and grab the biceps, they do not flex. Let's try that again. Like, that never happened.
All right.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, the gun's much better.
All right. Sweet. There it is.
So, you're not getting a bar fight? Have you ever been in a fight? Physical fight?
Yeah.
Punches and...
Yeah, I was in a fight.
How'd it go?
It went... it was... kind of awful.
It is awful. Fights are awful.
It was in fifth grade, though.
And I had a fight in fifth grade, too. That's weird.
My kid, who was calling himself my best friend, suddenly said that he wasn't my best friend anymore. And we started yelling at each other. And then he started... This other kid, like the schoolyard bully, was goading him to start, like, a fight.
Oh.
And so he, like, ran at me and tackled me. And so I started punching. It was like the Old West. Like, at one point, I threw him against a wall, and I was
like
punching him in the face against the wall, and we were both, like, crying. It was very emotional. We were very upset.
Because it was with your buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was horrible. And then at the end, you know, finally the teacher came out and broke us up. It went on for a while. And then this other guy, Lance Feely.
It's like Dazed and Confused. See, yeah. I know how these fights go.
Yeah.
You start a fight, but the group mentality can't handle a fight, so it gets broken up, and then it doesn't.
Right.
It goes on for too long.
Yeah, I hate that. That show always bugs me. That Adam Goldberg guy is always getting bullied in the movies.
Like, yeah.
It's even worse than that. Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, that scene tortures me.
It's horrible.
That is probably the most effective scene in that movie for me.
Yeah, well, the D-Day sequence is good.
Okay, you're right. The opening.
But
the
I agree.
Opening
most of that movie
and the Goldberg scene are the things that stand out. I'll be honest, I can't remember any of the rest of the movie.
I remember Vin Diesel walking around, and I remember Tom Hanks' hand shaking, and I feel like maybe Ted Danson was there.
Oh, my gosh. Ted Danson was in that movie.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah, random. I mean, why not? I like Ted Danson, but
it would have been
random.
Cooler, though. It would have been cooler if it had been Ted Danson and Steve Guttenberg.
And a baby strapped in one of their backs.
and Tom Selleck, and they're in the war, but they found a baby in the war.
Saving Private Ryan and a baby. Yeah, great performances. I was just not a fan of that movie.
Me either. Anyway, what were we talking about?
I can't even remember because scotch is delicious.
It is. Scotch is delicious. What's the next question?
This might have to be the last question because the mom next to us is really pissed at me. Should I end with a silly question or a thought-provoking question? Which would you prefer? Todd Robert Anderson, lover, family man, actor, renewable energy resource, future expert. That was really hard for me to get
engineer.
Through. Engineer. That's right. I couldn't remember what it
expert.
Was.
Future expert. I'd actually...
Did you say ginger? Oh, you said engineer. I was like... Renewable power source ginger.
Renewable gingers. Are the alternative power source of the future.
Man, don't, you know, you
harness,
guys are...
Harness this.
Haven't you guys been tortured enough?
Yeah.
I mean, right. Do you really want people to, like, strap you down and plug shit into you at this point?
Well, I have to save the world.
History?
Sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself to save the world.
Oh, that's nice.
That's all there is to it.
Okay.
That's all there is to
it. If you feel that way about it, I'm going to stand by you. All right, so... hard hitting or dumb?
Silly.
Silly.
Let's go with silly, just because, you know, scotch and
I know
the old drunk guy's gone. And that little kid's next door, and I don't want to scare the little kid with something serious.
Okay.
It's bad enough he heard my, like, playground fight story. That's going to give him nightmares.
That, and you know what? I didn't even talk about mine.
Oh, yeah. What happened to you?
Which I actually, I got into a fight in fifth grade.
Oh, true that's story. What I forgot to say, that Lance Feely, after the fight, told me that I won the fight. That's what I was.
Who's, is Lance Feely an athlete I should know?
No, he was just a kid. Who was
oh,
there.
Lance Feely. Oh, Lance!
Lance was
Sir
great.
Lance
was great.
Told you you won the fight, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
But then the next year I asked out Melissa Bland and she said no and then called Lance Feely and asked him out right after. I gave her the idea. She gave the same spiel to Lance that I gave to her right after I gave it to her.
What?
Said the exact same thing verbatim.
Nice.
Melissa Bland.
See that, Melissa, wherever you are, suck it. This guy is going to transform the world with renewable energy sources. You know who's not
on
getting
my
any?
Hair. You.
You.
You and Lance Feely.
You and Lance.
Backstabber.
You're
going
to be burning coal. People are going to burn you at the stake for your coal. Okay, so my fight was with Fiona Lumsden. And Sasha Rice, who's actually Jerry Brown's niece, true dat.
You fought two girls at once?
No. Okay, no, that's not true. So they were the bullies at my school at the time. Fiona Lumsden, who was probably stunning. She's probably a model. Her whole family's from England.
How
she had
can
an accent.
You not be a model if your last name is Lumsden?
Lumsden. Fiona. Well, Fiona. I start with Fiona. She was gorgeous, total tomboy, because she had two older brothers who kicked her ass every day. That is true. Uh-huh. They would pound on her every day, so she got to be a very plucky little gorgeous girl.
She was plucky.
She was strong.
Okay.
So she was tough, and Sasha was tall and big, because Jerry Brown breeds them in his family tall and big.
Right.
So the two of them would bully me, and by that I mean they would mock me. They would, at one point they blacklisted me in fourth grade, which means they had formed a list of all the kids in our class of the entire fourth grade. And if any of them crossed them, they would blacklist that child, which means everyone was told you can't talk to this child. You can't eat lunch with this kid. Even if they're your best friend, if you talk or eat lunch with this kid, you're on the blacklist.
Oh man.
It was horrible. And some of the teachers knew about this at the time, by the way. And so, like, our teacher at the time, Mr. Edwards, he was...
That's messed up.
He was a bad guy. So I was blacklisted, and my mom, I had started to have nightmares, and my mom found out what it was and went to see the principal and said, do you know this is happening? So this had gone on. They waited for me after school. I could see them at the gate. I had no other gate to exit. They punched me in the stomach, and I just took it and walked home to school because I lived a block away under the underpass. So one day, and then in between that at our little rich white school, we were bused to another local school that was all predominantly black, where I was very popular with the kids who were at that school. Mm-hmm. So we got bused to the school, and all those kids loved me. They were like, this white chick is funny.
That's cool.
And that was fantastic.
So you were like their white clown?
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice.
I was fine with that. They thought it was hilarious, and we got along really well. We had a similar sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
They were all big chicks, and they were used to being tough. So when we returned to the school, they came too and integrated.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the year that of the fight. So I remember walking back from the recess bell rang, and I'm walking back from the yard towards my classroom. And Fiona Lumsden and her gang of white kids were all walking behind
the
me.
The beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Fiona
the
Lumsden.
Gorgeous Fiona Lumsden was walking
beautiful
behind me.
Beautiful creature.
Yes.
And outside. Inside, not so much.
Not so much.
Yeah.
There's a follow-up to that, too. But so she's talking shit about me behind me. And I'm talking to my friend saying, they're walking behind us. And she said, what did you say? I heard you talking about me. What'd you say? And she's walking really close behind me saying that. Taunting.
She's getting aggressive.
She's trying to get me to start something. And I'm walking, walking, thinking, there's no way out of this. I'm going to have to. I could keep walking. I could have kept walking.
Sure.
I could have stayed out of this fight. But I was feisty. Even though I was not brave, I was feisty. And knew that I would rather face her and lose than not face her and go back to class. Because I did not like being challenged by bullies. And I had been punched before. So I turned around and she said, if you have something to say it to my face. So I walked right up to her nose.
Oh, you got in her face.
Nose to neck, went into her personal dance space.
You didn't just say it to her face.
No.
You got in her space.
I was in her personal dance
space. And talked to her
face.
That's right.
And I said, I've got nothing to say.
You know what they call that?
What do they say?
The space face.
Space face. I space-faced her.
You space-faced her.
And the moment you do that, someone who's primed for a fight fights you.
Yeah, that's a fight.
So she slapped me in the face.
Open hand?
Open hand. She girl-slapped me.
Uh-huh.
And I girl-slapped her back.
Oh.
And that's kind of the last thing I remember. Because it was a blur memory of all both of
just
us
scrambled.
Punching and scratching and hair and
ugh.
It was...
That's exactly what my fight with this Eric
horrible,
kid was like. Yeah.
Horrible. I wasn't
you go
crying.
Blind. You go blind.
It's blind.
Just,
it's a blind
yeah,
blur
like
of terrifying
action. Trying to survive
action.
Something, yeah.
We're pulled apart by kids, actually. Adults did not get there fast enough. Kids pull us apart, and we immediately start walking back to the yard from there. I think maybe they were like, teachers are coming, something like that. And the sobbing for me immediately. Like, I was, it was a shower of, I was so upset. It was so terrifying
like
and awful.
Like in a Christmas Story.
That's exactly
when
what it was
he beats
like.
Up that bully, and then he, as soon as his mom pulls him off, he starts crying.
Yeah. I was in the bathroom sobbing uncontrollably for, I don't know, 20 minutes.
I was a
like
boy,
that.
So I couldn't, I wasn't supposed to show, like, I had to, like,
keep it
try
in.
Try to
and
keep it in.
Do one of those.
Yeah.
It was horrible. I went when I went back, and these girls, so the black chicks are around me. They were like, "That was that's what you do." You know, they were all for it because
rock-a-bye, baby.
They were like, "You've got to face her." All along, they had been saying that to me.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you do. Excuse me, little boy.
Go back to your mother over there. Hey, lady.
Do you know that your son has involved
Watch
himself in our conversation? We
do
are not editing ourselves.
Yeah, so, this is a grown-up time. Take care of your kid, lady.
God. We're not trying to make a problem. We're just saying this is an adult conversation. If you don't want your child to be exposed to what we're talking about, you should probably have him join you at the bar. Or maybe you shouldn't be at the bar in the first place if you've got a child. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, who brings their kid to a bar?
Even a restaurant.
Yeah, well, like, this isn't a restaurant. It's a bar with food. But, yeah. You know what?
Anyway. Okay, I'm going to finish the story.
This is
going to
end in a bar
It's
going to
end poorly.
In a brawl.
So, in the end, so I'm crying, and they had wanted me to be in it, so I was in it. I faced her. That was
sure.
It wasn't their idea. But when I went back to the classroom, I looked over at her, because we were in the same class, and her arms were bloody. Because I had torn her up. So,
jeez.
I don't know what I did. But her arms were all cut up. And I was bruised.
Man.
So I'd probably been more girl fighting. I don't know.
Do you
really
bruise
don't know.
Easily? Or?
Yeah, actually, I do bruise pretty easily.
So you probably would have gotten bruises anyway.
Though. I probably, if this, you're right. If I bump into a table, I bruise.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right.
But it was a lot later... A lot later, interesting finish to this story, is that, so I had counted her as my arch enemy, and I used to describe her that way for decades and decades.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened when we were, I don't know, how old are you when you're in fifth or sixth grade? You're like 11, 12. Decades later when we, not decades, one decade later when we were graduating college, out of the blue, I get an invitation from someone, and you have to get it in the mail.
Sure.
I got an invitation in the mail from Fiona Lumsden to go to her end graduation party from college.
Really?
She and I had never kept touch.
She just invited you?
Yes. And I went and I talked to my mom about it. I said, can you believe she invited me? This woman who's been my enemy all these years, who beat me, who used to wait for me and bully me, and we had a fight because she started it. And My mom talked to me about it. She said, you know what? Maybe that's why. Maybe she's spent the last 10 years not thinking about, you know, I was her arch enemy. Isn't that awesome? She's thought, God, I was a bully in elementary school.
She
that
felt
was
bad
her story.
And she wanted to.
Yes. Yeah. So do you want to go? Knowing that she's inviting you, that she bullied
you. Did you go?
You know, I went.
Oh, how was it?
It was fantastic.
Oh, that's cool.
It wasn't like, hey, and nothing between us. It was a little awkward, but it was great to be there. She was friendly. She was happy I accepted. I saw other people from elementary school that I hadn't seen. Mm-hmm. And then her brother gave me head on the way out. And he saw me to my car and he gave me head.
Well, all right.
See?
That's great.
In the end, I fucked her brother.
Oh.
Who was also gorgeous and British.
Well, the guy who bullied me in high school, I didn't want to have sex with any of his siblings. So when he friended me on Facebook,
that was
I did not friend him.
Wah, wah.
I did not accept the friendship. It's like, you know what? I'm over that stuff, but
I know
I'm never going to forget it. And
right.
I'm never going to be your friend.
Yes.
And you suddenly friending me on Facebook. No.
You can
sit down and you can what
you want to construct a letter to me
if
that
you
is
want,
meaningful.
If you want to feel better about this, you sit down and you write a letter.
Uh-huh.
Saying how sorry you are and do not expect forgiveness.
Maybe that guy doesn't even remember it that way.
I don't know how he couldn't.
Yeah.
That means he just doesn't remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is getting so serious.
You know what?
Ask me this silly question.
The last question is white or black? Which do you prefer?
Black.
Oh, that was so quick.
Yeah.
What have you got against white?
Nothing. I just prefer black.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just prefer black.
Uh-huh. Why?
That tells me a lot about you. Do you have a darkness inside? That's in the end.
Why is it a darkness?
I do like to ask that question. No, it's just people
you
lean towards one or the other.
You said this was a silly question, and then you're getting judgmental.
I'm just blowing smoke up your ass.
So you
white or black? Cool. Check, please.
All right. I guess, so is that the show?
That's the show.
All right.
Thanks a lot for doing it. We're going to end on a kiss, and you can tell your wife about it afterwards.
All right.
Mwah.
Okay, I'll tell my wife.
No, seriously, we do want to check.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And tell this lady to control her kid!
My God, man!